attractive people.
Amen.
And we have more fun than anybody.
That's right.
And people don't realize just what they're missing.
That's right.
They think we're missing a lot.
Come on. That's it.
But we enjoy so many more things than
Amen.
They enjoy.
God, help us appreciate.
We have friends and we have fellowship. There is no smoke in this room. There's no cigars. And
Amen.
No cigarettes. And
yeah.
It's good and clean, a good, clean atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Well, are you ready for some preaching?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how to preach, only just the way I do.
Yeah. Come on.
All I can do is just cut loose and preach. That's all I know how to do. I was not privileged to go to a Bible college like you went. In my day, we didn't have a Bible college.
Come on, that's right.
I got on my knees as a teenager.
Come on.
And I got the revelation of Jesus Christ being the Almighty God. And I hardly ever preach a sermon unless I mention that.
Come on. Good.
Now, some folks might not like it, but I could care less. It's because that has made us what we are.
Amen.
That has made us what we are.
That's right.
And I took the Bible, got on my knees before God, and He gave me a divine revelation.
Thank God.
And you can't knock it out of me with a 10-foot fence rail, so you need not try. Because it's embedded in me.
Praise God.
It's instilled in me. And when the world is burning down, I'm going to look to Him that saved me. And He's going to take me right on through. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We ought to be making more noise tonight in this church than the world could ever make out there. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody told me one time they didn't believe in shouting, and this is how they fixed it. They said, it's not all in shouting. I said, you're correct, and it's not all in sitting still either.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got to balance this thing out.
Amen.
There's a time where you don't feel like shouting.
Right.
But when you feel like it, cut loose. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now I want to turn tonight to two different portions of the Word of God. I want to read first from the book of 1 Peter, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. And I would like to read verses 4 and 5. To whom cometh as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let me read verse number 5 again, and I want you to listen carefully. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now hold in mind those two words, lively stones. Now let me turn to the 4th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. And I want you to listen carefully to the reading of verses 1 and 2. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?
Yeah.
I'm going to preach tonight on burned stones.
Praise God.
burned stones. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, help us tonight in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. You may be seated. The Lord bless you tonight. The text has identified the people of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was a stone that was rejected of men, disallowed. But the Scripture has told us that we, the church, the body of Christ, that we are lively stones.
Amen.
I've always believed that Jesus was the living stone. He died but came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's a living Christ, and a living Christ will produce a living religion.
Amen.
We do not need dead formality. We need to be lively stones.
Amen.
Lively in our singing.
Yeah.
Lively in our worship.
That's right.
Lively in our preaching.
Amen.
Lively stones. Lively stones. And the Scripture said that we are lively stones and we are built up. You see, the Lord has used stones to build this spiritual house. And this spiritual house was set aside to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. That's what we are preaching about tonight. The house, the spiritual house. It's a holy priesthood where we come into the spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. But this house is made of lively stones. It's made of lively stones. And when we come into the spiritual house, we're to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, if you intended to build a house, what kind of material would you use? Let me go back here for a moment. The walls of the city of Jerusalem had been burned and destroyed and everything was in waste. But this man had a vision to rebuild the walls. Now, what kind of material did he have to build the walls, to rebuild the walls, to erect the walls? What kind of material did he have? All the material that he had was burned stones. That's all the material that he had was burned stones. And I want to tell you tonight, the devil has done a fantastic job. If I should say that, he's done a fantastic job with the human race. When you go back to the Garden of Eden and realize that Adam and Eve was in the very holy presence of God, they were in the paradise of God. And the devil came. And he caused them to sin against God. To rebel against the known commandment of God. And from that day until this, the human race has felt the effects of the heat of sin. The human race has been twisted and warped by the heat. By the heat of sin. But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ, when he was ready to build a church, and I'm going to tell you that Jesus did build a church. He didn't build 3. He didn't build 500. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Strange thing. Preachers are strange people, and some of the saints are strange too. But when a pastor, you have a great Sunday night service, 3 or 4 pray through, baptize a half a dozen. If you have a fellowship meeting on Monday night or see a group of preachers, you just dine for them to say, how's your church doing? If they don't ask you pretty quick, you'll tell them. Said, you just ought to have been in my church Sunday night. You just ought to have been in my church. But you let something happen in that church. The preacher hunts the prayer closet. Yeah. Now, Lord, you know this is your church. Now, Lord, you know this is your church. When in reality, it's His church all the way through. I said, it's His church all the way through. And He built His church. He erected the spiritual house that we might be able to offer spiritual sacrifices. What kind of material did He build this house out of? I hope I can preach tonight like I want to. I just hope I can preach like I want to tonight. What kind of material did He use to build and erect this spiritual house? It's lively stones now, but we came out of the rubbish. We came out of the rubbish. Burned stones. When He got ready to build a house, He went to the rubbish pile and He picked us out and He picked us up and He converted us and put us in the church. I want you to notice Jesus. Now suppose that you was going to choose like Jesus had to choose. Now Jesus had to choose men to be the foundation of the early church. He had to choose men into whose hands that He would commit the preaching of the gospel. And of all the things in this world, I want you to look at the men that He chose to do the job. Hardly anybody would have chosen Simon Peter. Simon Peter had denied the Lord. God can see things in men that we cannot see. You see, men, they look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. He sees what a person can be. He sees a man or a woman. He looks on the inside. He sees the ability. He sees the talent, and He calls that individual. And He chose Simon Peter, who became a rock. A stone. He became a rock in the church. He had denied the Lord. Listen, the sooner we realize the church is not a body of angels, the better off we're all going to be. The church is not a body of created angels. The church is a body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. We are not angels by any means. We were burned stones. Cast on the rubbish pile. But Jesus came along. Hallelujah. That's the only kind of material that He had to build His house out of. Was humanity that had been warped and twisted by the heat of sin. I've seen the roughest people get saved. And I've seen the best of people get saved. And I've noticed time and time again, the person who came the deepest from sin, it seems that they had more joy than anybody. That good person, that's fine. Thank God for the good folks that get saved. But sometimes the old rough hand, when it comes out of the bottom of the burned stones, he has something to rejoice in his soul because God brought him from a long way off. I was holding a meeting one time, and we put up the tent on a Saturday, and a group of men came to help me, and there's a fellow walking around there. He came to help. He had a chew tobacco in his mouth that would choke a bull yearly, and he just was spitting in every direction. Somebody slipped up to him and said, that man just got home this week from the penitentiary. Said he's a rough customer. I said, I believe he is. We got the meeting to going, and one day I looked out from where we were staying, and I saw him coming up the driveway towards the house and had something in his hand. He had on a big hat, you know, and spitting out of the side of his mouth. I said to my wife, I said, there comes that rough fella. I wonder what I have done to offend him. I just wonder what I've done. He came up, knocked on the door, and I answered the door in a very blunt way. He said, I've been to the meeting every night. And he said, I've been hearing you preach. He said, I brought you some steak. I want you to cook that steak and start preaching and quit that fooling around. He turned around and left. And I quit fooling around. I laid it on, lock, stock, and barrel. Let me tell you tonight, the church is no place to pet people and to satisfy people. The church is a place to preach the gospel. I said the church is a place to preach the gospel. You take an old tomcat, take him up in your lap, rub the fur the right way, he'll purr all day. Rub the fur the wrong way and he'll spit in your eyeball. Now, if you don't like my rubbing, you'll have to turn around because I can't change my rubbing. I just can't change my rubbing. We had a revival in that town. It stirred that countryside. Wasn't but two or three nights after that man brought me the steak. He came rushing down the aisle, buried his knees in a pile of sawdust, and I want to tell you, he got the Holy Ghost. I said, he got the Holy Ghost. And after that, God called him to preach. That's right, he called him to preach. He was as rough as a corn cob, but God called him to preach. He pastored several churches, and I preached for him several times. Wonderful man. But he came out of a rough environment from the penitentiary, chewing tobacco, taking the name of the Lord in vain, cursing and swearing, doing everything in the book. That's the only kind of material that Jesus Christ had to build up a spiritual house. Burn stones. But I want to tell you, he did a good job. Now, right opposite, I preached one of our larger camp meetings. And we had that tabernacle altar that night overflowing with seekers. And a young woman approached me on the platform when I turned from the pulpit to walk away. She said, I've got to talk to you. I said, go in the office. I said, I'll be in a few minutes. I went in and sat down. She looked every ounce a Christian. Hair, dress, everything. I mean, she looked like a real old-time Pentecostal. I thought I'd let that soak in a minute. To me, there's no such thing as a modern Pentecostal. When I sat down at that table in that office, she said, here's my story. She said, your preaching tonight has stirred me up. She said, my dad is a pastor. I lead the choir. She said, I never did get the Holy Ghost. She said, they just accepted me and took me in as I was. She said, if I died tonight, I'd go to hell. She said, what am I going to do? I said, let me take you out to the altar and I'll tell you what we're going to do. I led her out of that office and across that platform and down at the end. She knelt, and I called four or five of the ladies. And let me tell you tonight, before that meeting was over, that young woman came up out of the sawdust, speaking in tongues, shouting the victory, shouting the victory. God saves the good. He saves the bad. He's got a church. And it's not made up of angels. It's made up of humanity. Lost humanity. That was going to hell. But God took us off of the rubbish pile. He cleaned us up. Who would have ever chose Simon Peter? If you had gone to entrust the keys to the kingdom, would you have chose Simon Peter, who had denied the Lord.
That's right.
But God saw something in him that the people around did not see. And I want to tell you something else tonight. We've always got people, when somebody prays through, oh, they're not going to last. You don't know whether they are or not.
Amen.
God sees something in that individual. And we'd better begin to look for the good. I said, let's look for the good in people.
Right.
One man told his wife one time, he said, there's nobody in this church living right but me and you. And he said, sometimes I got my doubts about you. We come to the house of God for perfection. I hope that I'm not overstepping the boundary tonight. If I am after church, you straighten me out. They'll ask me one day, a preacher, he said, do you really believe the church will be raptured before the tribulation? I said, sure. But he said, I don't. Well, I said, why? Well, he said, the church has to go through the tribulation to be perfected. I said, what about all the churches already dead? You mean they're not perfected? He said, I hadn't thought about that. You know what perfects people? He has a ministry in the church for the perfection of the saints and for the edification of the body of Christ. The tribulation period is not designed for the church. It's designed for the Jew and disobedient Gentiles. The church will be raptured in a minute now. The next sound I'm looking for is the sound of the trump of God. Hallelujah! Oh, what material he had to use. All of you that have read the Gospel of St. John, you say, what a wonderful man John must have been. Go back before Pentecost and see what happened to Brother John. He was a disciple, but Pentecost hadn't gotten here yet. So they went into a city, and that city did not give them the welcome that John thought they should have. He told the master, he said, call fire down from heaven and just consume the whole outfit. He was a disciple of hate. But when he really got converted in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, he became the disciple of love. That's how he works everything. Disciple of hate was transformed into a disciple of love. Peter, as weak as water, was transformed into a rock, a pillar in the church that had the keys to the kingdom. Oh, what a preacher he was. What a preacher he was. You look at him back here before he went to the upper room, denying the Lord, denying the Lord. But you see him at Pentecost standing up, shoulders straight, straight from the heart. He started to preach. They said, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What a preacher, what a preacher. He went through the change, the transformation. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. The transformation, to be changed. To be changed from a burned stone to a lively stone.
Amen.
To be turned from a sinner into a baptized saint of God. That's the effects of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then of all the people, the Lord would choose to be a missionary, a preacher, and a teacher. A man by the name of Saul. I'm going to tell you right now, Saul was very aggressive. He was out rounding up the saints, putting them in prison. It's not the question of becoming quiet. Somebody that's been rough, don't try to tone them down because they have changed their lives in a different channel where they worship the devil and the things of the world, turn them loose, and let them worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
I hope I don't get out of school again tonight. But if somebody would come to these altars that is addicted to dope and pray through tonight, it would be no time until that one would be somewhere giving in his testimony of how God delivered him from dope. I find no fault in that. But we missed it. I had just as soon to have a young person to stand up here and say, I've never felt the sting of a needle. I've never been addicted to dope. It's just as great to be kept from it as it is to be saved after you get into it. I was in a church some time ago, and one of the young people told me, said, I guess I'll have to backslide and go out and get on dope and then come back to the Lord before anybody pays any attention to me in this church. I said, no. I said, they should pay a whole lot of attention to you. When I see young people that will come to church, born and reared in church, cut their teeth on a Pentecostal pew, come to God at a young age, get saved, finish high school, go to college if you want to, get a job, marry, settle down, have a good husband or wife, and never feel the sting of a needle, never wallow in some back alley in your own vomit, then tell me that's not worth living for. Oh, hallelujah! I'm telling you, he takes the worst. I said, he takes the worst. Makes him a newborn creature in Jesus Christ. Peter, weak as water, but God saved him. Pillar in the church. John, a disciple of hate, turned into a disciple of love. And Saul, a persecutor and a blasphemer. Everything that you could think of, he was doing everything he could to destroy this church. But I've got news for all the souls tonight. You'll never destroy it. I said, you'll never destroy it. Nobody will. I heard about this old lady that was witnessing to an atheist. And that atheist said, you Christians, you have certain days in the year that you celebrate religious holidays. The Jews, they have certain days of the year that they celebrate in their religion. But we atheists, we don't have any days to celebrate. The old lady said, why don't you celebrate April the 1st? That's Fool's Day. For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He said, do you believe that old story that the whale swallowed Jonah? Oh, yes, she said, I do. He said, did it ever occur to you that that was a tailor-made job? The Lord, she said, the Lord prepared a fish. The Lord prepared a fish. She said it was a tailor-made job. And he said, well, did it ever occur to you? That's the proven scientific fact that the throat of a whale is too small to swallow a man. He said, the Lord prepared that fish. And may I add this, he's got a whale for every Jonah. Man, am I ever preaching tonight? He's got a fish for every Jonah. But she said, when I get to heaven, if I think about it, I'm going to ask Jonah about that. He said, suppose you get to heaven and he's not there. Well, she said, you ask him. See, these things about God, I believe in creation. But I cannot explain creation. All I can say is this. I understand and believe in creation by faith. That's what Paul said. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God put it all together. If He can make a world, He can make a church. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, we're in the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Saul was a persecutor, recognized immediately that that was the hand of God. Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus. From that day on, he was transformed. He was changed. He set out to be a preacher, a missionary, and a teacher. That's the power of transformation. The power of transformation. We are lively stones, not tombstones. And don't act like it. And if you act like it, I'll preach to you tonight. I can't stand. Listen, I don't like to be around churches that are dead. Anything that's dead ought to be carried to the cemetery. How many of you remember when you first heard Pentecost? Would you lift your hand? You mean y'all ain't heard it yet? Stick your hand up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. This fellow lived in a part of the country he had never heard of Pentecost. He knew nothing about it. And he went several miles to visit some of his people in the summertime. And they're having an old-time Pentecostal revival. And he went to church and received the Holy Ghost. Well, he went back home. Nowhere to go to church. But one day he decided to go to a deep freeze down the road. And he went and he found him a good seat and he sat down. And the preacher said something that he liked. He said, Amen. A usher stood by his side and said, we don't allow that here. Well, he quieted down, and in a few minutes, the preacher said something else that he liked. He said, Hallelujah. Yeah. Two men appeared, and they ushered him out the front door. And one of them said, what is the matter with you? He said, I've got religion. Well, the fellow said, you never got it here. And the other one said, I think I know what your trouble is. He said, I think you're half-cracked. He threw both hands up. He said, praise God. That's where the light got in. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's where the light got in. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God somebody ought to be shouting right now. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Offer up a sacrifice right now. Give it to God right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. The kind of stones that he used to build this spiritual house. Brother Pastor, get me 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. And you can stand right up here with me and help me preach.
No, you're not.
Now, I want you to get this tonight. Jot it down and take it home with you and read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not
that the unrighteous shall not inherit?
Shall not.
Amen.
Shall not inherit the kingdom
of God.
Of God. Now, is that settled?
Amen. That's what he said. He's God.
Well, I didn't get amen, so I'll say it again to settle it for sure. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Thank you. Now then, let's notice the next verse.
Next verse?
No, just read right on.
Be not deceived.
Be not deceived.
Neither fornicators.
Neither fornicators.
Idolaters.
Idolaters.
Adulterers.
Adulterers.
Or effeminate.
Effeminate.
Or abusers of themselves of mankind.
Come on.
Or thieves.
Thieves. Wait a minute. Here is a group of stones that made up the church at Corinth.
Come on.
And you may say, what a crew. You ain't joking, honey. It was a crew.
Right. Come on.
And before I get through with that verse, you're going to see the kind of stones that God can use to build the church.
Can do it.
Listen, I want to pause here a minute. I was thinking about this today, and it just fits right in.
Yeah.
The Bible said that Jesus and his disciples went through Samaria.
Right.
Now, the Jews, every time they could, they went around. They didn't go like Jesus went.
Right.
And he stopped at the well of Jacob, and they went into the city to buy meat.
Right.
He said, I have a need to go through there.
Yeah.
Please. And you know why? He was going to meet a woman at the well.
Amen.
And while the disciples were gone, Jesus was seated on the well, and a woman came at noontime.
Right.
To draw water from the well.
Amen.
Jesus said, give me the drink. The woman said, how is it? You being a Jew, ask, drink of me. I'm a woman of Samaria.
Right.
And the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
That's
Jesus said, if you only knew who it was that said, give me to drink, you would have asked him.
Yeah.
And he would have given you living water. She said, how can you give water when you don't have anything to draw with? Jesus said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you said right. You've had five.
Right.
But the one you have now is not your husband.
Amen. Think about it.
She had walked down the aisle so many times and went to so many divorce courts.
Yeah.
Until she just decided to shack up with number six.
Amen. That's right.
You know, when I read that, that must have been a good looking old gal. It was just like you was fishing with a fish net. She just threw it out and she captured six men. You see, marriage is a great institution and no family should be without it.
Amen. That's right. Come on. Amen.
And now I want you to get this, and this is what impressed me so deeply about what I'm preaching about tonight. After he revealed her life to her, he said, go to the city.
Yeah.
And she went, and this is what she said. Now, I want you to get this. She said, come see a man.
Uh-huh.
And everybody there knew her.
Come on.
Her neighbors. She had had five husbands, and the one she had now, she was shacked up with, and she went to the city and said, come see a man. Said, come see a man that has told me everything that I have ever done.
Amen.
And you know what happened?
Amen.
The throng of people came out.
Amen.
And they begged Jesus to stay with them.
Amen. That's right.
And to preach to them and to teach to them.
Right. Praise God.
Listen, we are too hasty to judge a person of their past.
Amen.
And you take this advice from somebody that's been around.
Come on.
When the devil tries to dig up your past, you remind him of his future.
Amen. Come on. That's right. Hey, God. Hallelujah. That's
it. And listen to this. Where was the seed planted?
Yeah.
In Samaria? In the heart of a fallen woman.
Come on.
4 or 5 years later, Philip went to Samaria. And you talk about a revival, he had a revival.
Amen.
Where did it start? In the heart of a fallen woman.
Come on.
You hear me. When God saves somebody and wipes the slate clean,
come on.
That slate is clean. It's Amen. Over and gone. They are beginning a brand new life in Jesus Christ. She was a burned stone. The foul breath of passion had been breathed upon her. But Jesus Christ told her of a better way and a better life. And I preach that same thing tonight. Hallelujah. I've seen the rough. I've seen the good.
Amen.
But God is still building His house. A spiritual house. And when He digs you out of the rubbish. We used to sing a song. You don't hear it anymore. I wish somebody would come along and do some of the old time Pentecostals that we used to sing. It was entitled "The Diamond in the Rough." I guess you heard that years ago.
Yeah.
You see, when you dig the diamond out, there's some more things that got to be done to the diamond. The same thing when He digs you out of the burned stones and out of the rubbish and you come into the house of God, then He begins to take off the rough edges.
Amen.
And He has one of the finest polishing machines that you have ever seen in all the days of your life. He'll cut off the edges. He'll trim it down. He'll polish you, and He'll put you as a stone in this spiritual house, hallelujah, where you can offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Hallelujah. Man, I feel good tonight. Praise God. Come on, Brother Pastor. Now notice what he said. Who is going there and who's not going there?
A thief.
Now, he said the church at Corinth was made up of thieves, effeminate, fornicators.
Yeah.
I had a Baptist preacher one time to tell me, he said, I know that the church at Corinth was a Baptist church. I said, why? Because he said they had everything in it. No, I said, I'll steal your thunder. I said, that was a Pentecostal church. And the reason I know it was is because they had everything in it.
That's right. Come on.
They had come out of sin.
Amen.
They quit their stealing. They didn't thief anymore. That's right. And let me tell you tonight, when you get a hold of what I'm preaching about tonight, it'll turn you around. It'll transform you. It'll make you a brand new creature in Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Thieves. Come on.
Or covetous.
Come on.
Or drunkards.
Wait a minute. Drunkards?
Or drunkards.
Drunkards. Now you see, these are the stones that God used to build up the church of Corinth.
Amen.
And that was some kind of a list.
Yeah.
This is a true story that happened. A man, he would get off from work on Friday, and on his way home was a tavern. He'd stop, spend his money, get home late in the night or sometime the next morning. His family hardly had any furniture, clothes or food. Now this is an actual happening. But one day, on the job, somebody asked him to come to a Pentecostal church. And let me tell you tonight, I had a pastor tell me some time ago, he said if I could just go out and handpick who I wanted to come to my church, that's what I'd do. Shame on that pastor. I've always looked at a soul as being a soul.
Oh, yes, that's it. Praise God.
If they're in a back alley in rags,
come on,
still a soul.
Amen.
If you've got on a suit of clothes that cost $1,000, it's still a soul.
Amen.
I preach for souls.
Amen.
I love humanity. I love to tell men the love story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went to church. He got the Holy Ghost. And when Friday came, he took his paycheck, walked right by that tavern and went home.
Amen.
What he should have been doing all the time.
Right. Come on.
But he found that transforming power.
Amen. That's it.
So on Saturday, they went to town. They bought some groceries, some furniture, clothes, church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And on a few weeks, you that work on public jobs, there's always a smart aleck in the crowd somewhere.
Yeah.
And one of them walked up to him and said, well, I heard you joined the church. Well, he said, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, the fellow said, now you in the church, and I want to ask you a question in the Bible. He said, how did Jesus Christ turn the water to wine? He said, I don't know. He said, I heard my pastor preach about it, but he said, I can't explain it. But he said, what I can tell you is how Jesus Christ in my life turned beer into furniture.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Praise God.
And then you say the days of miracles are over. You know what we call a miracle?
Yep.
Somebody get up out of a wheelchair, lay the crutch aside, somebody got healed. Listen, let me tell you, the miracle
he wants to perform
is to transform inward man so that men will become a new creation in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Drunkards will not make it, but they can be transformed. Come on.
Our drunkards, our revilers, our extorters, our inheritors shall inherit the kingdom of God.
All right, now the next verse.
And such were some of you.
Wait a minute.
And such
were some of you.
Uh-huh.
Some of you were fornicators.
Yeah.
Idol worshipers.
Come on.
Drunkards. Thieves. But something has happened to you.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm preaching that it can still happen to you.
Praise God.
I said I'm preaching that it can still happen to you.
Praise God.
Salvation is more than a New Year's resolution.
Come on.
Turning over a new leaf or making a promise. Let me tell you, reformation goes down on the inside. You are transformed from a sinner into a baptized son of God. And such were some of you, but what happened to you?
But you're washed.
Wait, you're washed.
You're washed.
There are two departments to a laundry. Dry cleaning or wet wash. And you'll never get to heaven dry cleaned.
Come on.
You've got to be wet washed.
Amen. You were washed. Come on.
You wait. Just hold on. Listen, just buckle up because I'm not through yet.
Praise God.
I'm preaching to you tonight.
Bless.
I'm preaching like there's 10,000 people here.
Praise God. Bless you.
But you are precious.
Amen.
I said you are precious tonight.
That's right.
And you are just part of the building.
Amen.
You are just a stone in this spiritual house.
Come on.
And such were some of you, but something happened to you.
Thank God. You were washed?
You know, I was born and reared in Mississippi. And I was born and reared right behind the post office by 12 miles. And we had running water in our house. You grabbed the bucket and run outside and got it.
Amen. Yeah.
And my mama, she washed our clothes in a big wash pot.
Yeah.
Now, I may be talking to all city folks tonight.
Yeah,
I have my definition of city folks. City folks are country folks that come to town so they can work in the shade.
Yeah.
She'd take that big iron wash pot, build a fire around it, put the clothes in, and she had a punching stick. Punch it down with the soap. And after a while, when she got through, had a block of wood. She'd lay those clothes on that wood and she'd beat the dirt out of them. But after a while, a vast invention come along. They had a little washboard about that long. She'd stick it over in the tub. Now, you talk about advanced, man.
Yeah.
Man is going to town then. Had that little washboard, you know.
Yeah.
Then it wasn't too long until they had a little washing machine. Had them little paddles like that. And those paddles would just aggravate the dirt out of the clothes.
That's right.
But now, everything is run in the home by switches but the children.
Yeah. That's it. Hey, he's got...
I never was as sorry for people in my life as I am the American woman right now. I'm really sorry for her.
Yep.
She goes to the washroom, pours in some soap, turns on the water, puts in the clothes, goes to the easy chair and sits down with a good cup of strong coffee and say, I'm Bush, I've had it. You've got to go through the process of washing.
Yeah.
Now, come on, everybody. Come on, everybody.
Come on.
Through the process of washing. Come on.
But
and such were some of you, but you
are washed.
You are washed.
Amen.
Come on.
But you're sanctified.
You're petrified.
Sanctified.
Oh, wait a minute. Sanctified. That's what he said. But you are sanctified.
Sanctified.
You are sanctified. Come on.
But you're justified.
Let's read that again. But you are washed.
But you're washed.
You're
but
sanctified.
You're sanctified.
And you're justified. Now, how are you washed? How are you sanctified? And how are you justified?
In the name.
Who?
In the name.
In the name.
Of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
And
by
the Spirit,
the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's the washing.
Praise God.
That's the justification.
Glorious.
That's the cleansing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's all in the book.
Thank God.
It's all in the book. I said it's all in the book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Washed. Sanctified. Justified.
Thank God for truth.
You can't take away the name of Jesus.
I
said you can't take away the
Praise
name of Jesus.
God.
You're washed. You're sanctified. And you're justified.
Oh, think about it.
This verse just came to me.
Praise
Ephesians 5:25. I want to show you something here tonight. You must be washed. You know, when Saul got under conviction and Ananias came to visit with Saul, this is what he said. Brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins. In the Old Testament, sins were rolled ahead. In the New Testament, they're washed away. That's the difference. Thank God for the washing. Thank God for the cleansing.
Thank God.
Thank God for being sanctified.
Amen.
Thank God for being justified. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Thank God.
Now, Ephesians 5:25.
Husbands,
love your wives.
Love your wives.
Even as Christ.
Also love the church.
Also love what?
The church.
What did he love?
The church.
Oh, come on, what did he love?
The church.
The church. All right, he loved the church. Christ also loved the church.
Yes, and gave himself for it.
And gave himself for the church.
Yes.
That's what he died for.
Amen.
Come on.
That he might sanctify
the church.
And cleanse it.
And cleanse the church.
With the washing of the water.
With the washing of water.
By the word.
By the word.
That he might present it to himself.
That he might do what?
Present it to himself.
A man asked me some time ago, he said, why is it that Jesus is going to present the church to himself? I said, for two reasons. Reason number one, there's nobody else to present it to.
That's right.
And number two, why would he want to give it away when it's his? He bought it.
Amen.
He purchased it.
That's right.
Listen, you talk about stupidity.
Amen. Come on.
Listen. You ought to tangle up with some people that I've tangled up with for the past 60 years.
Come on. Praise God.
He's going to present the church to himself because it's his church.
Yes.
I said it's his church.
Oh, yes, his church.
His church.
A glorious church.
A what kind of church?
A glorious church.
A glorious church.
Not having spot.
Not having spot.
Nor wrinkle.
Nor wrinkle.
Or any such
thing. But.
That it should be holy.
Holy.
And without blemish.
And without blemish.
So ought men. Love their wives.
To love their wives.
As their own body.
As their own body.
Please God.
You married ladies ought to say, thank you, Brother Gamlin, for preaching like that tonight.
Thank God.
Amen. You can generally tell, if you've been married quite a long time, when the man is on the passenger side opening the door and helping the lady in, it's either a new wife or a new car. Well, hallelujah. You know, I may never come back, so I'm going to load your wagon real good tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now wait. The end is coming. I want Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 in closing. The end is coming. Now, we read in Ephesians 5 that the church he's going to have will be a washed church, a cleansed church, a justified church, a holy church, without blemish, spot, or wrinkle. Now, let's go to the end. Let's go to the end, the final climax, and see how God is going to treat this church. Here it is, Jude chapter 1 and verse 20.
But ye, beloved,
but you, beloved,
building up yourselves on your most holy faith,
praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on.
Keep yourselves in the love of God. The love of God.
Keep yourselves.
Yes.
Never get bitter.
Come on. Oh, help us. Come on. Keep yourselves. Love of God.
It's not the unknown tongue that's going to hurt this church.
Amen. Come on.
Unknown tongue won't hurt your community.
Yeah.
But it's that little tongue that needs no interpretation.
Yeah.
It's the tongue that can sit in the living room and lick the skillet in the kitchen. I heard of the pastor that preached on Sunday morning, and he really preached. And a lady came up, said, "Pastor, you preached beyond the conviction. I want to lay my tongue on the altar. I've talked too much." He looked across, he said, "I'll tell you, lady," he said, "this altar's only 30 foot long. And I don't believe I can accommodate you today."
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Listen, I want to say this. I don't care who's here. I don't care who's not here. I want to say this.
Come on.
Rumor and gossip.
Come on.
Has ruined a lot of good people. People look at gossip in two ways. First, it's not worth keeping.
Yeah.
And they tell it. It's not worth keeping, they say. And then others, it's too good to keep.
Yeah.
Praise God. That's where it all winds up.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Scars and wounds has been made.
Amen.
A lot of people are out of our churches all over this country because somebody talked them out.
Come on. That's right.
Instead of talking them out, we ought to love them in. That's
right. Amen.
Like, love them in.
Burden it, God.
Love them in.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I've learned a long time ago that you can never clean a fish until you get him caught.
Amen. That's right.
See, sometimes we try to clean them before we ever catch them.
Praise God.
Catch them first.
Yeah.
Bring them in, then clean them.
Praise
That's
God.
That's it. That's what I'm Amen. Preaching tonight. A gospel that will go way down deep on the inside.
Oh, yes.
A gospel that will go down to the bottom. Right down to the heap of the burned stones and bring out the man or the woman that has never been acquainted with God. And they can find him in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Pastor, let's read again.
Looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Unto eternal life.
Unto eternal life.
And of some have compassion.
On some have compassion.
Making a difference.
Making a difference.
And others saving with fire.
Others saving with fire.
Pulling them out of the fire.
Pulling them out of the fire.
Having even their garments spotted by the flesh.
All right, come on.
Now unto him.
Wait. Here's the climax. Now unto them.
Now unto him.
Them.
Him.
Well, have it your way.
And unto him that is able to keep you
now
from falling.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now unto him that is Amen. Able to keep you from falling. Oh. He's able to do it.
Amen.
He's able to keep you.
Praise
I said he's able to keep you.
Oh, yes he is.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Come on, let's stand up.
And
come on, let's stand up, everybody.
Praise God.
Come on, let's offer up that.